This evening we have the honor of having the Ricker family with us. You were with us before you returned to the field the last time, I believe. Beansy has a brother 2 hours from here. We get to see them a little more often, I think. So that's good. We appreciate that. As Brother Ricker comes, he's going to be giving us an update, and I believe the family is going to be singing for us, and or at least some of the family, and then he'll be preaching for us as well. So please be in prayer for them. Brother Ricker, come if you would, please. I think you're wired up, ready to go.
What kind of missionary I am right now. But anyway, no, we came back from Peru on December the 15th, spent about 6 days with my wife's family down in Conroe. And then Christmas with all of them, trying to get everything done with the family there in 6 days. Then we flew to Wyoming to be with my family. And we just flew back to Dallas on last Tuesday. And been with my brother up there in Wichita Falls until this afternoon. And so I don't have my display board. I forgot to get prayer cards. I'm sorry. If you need more, there may be some in the back. If you need some more, I'll get them sent to you. I just do not have them with me right now. But anyway, just to let you know, where's the board? Where are the prayer cards? Well, I forgot. I'm sorry. Anyway, it's good to be back. Good to see you all here again this evening. Be back with the church and see what God is doing here. And thank God for your church. Thank God for you, your pastor, and your ministry and support for us. There in Peru. 2.5 years ago, we moved from Lima, Peru, where we'd been there for several years, up to the mountains in Cusco, Peru, in the southeastern mountains to help a church start a deaf ministry. And things are advancing little by little, slowly. If you came to our church on a Sunday morning, you would probably wonder where the deaf are. We have an average of 2 or 3 on Sunday morning right now. But in my phone that I send a verse to every day, from Monday through Saturday, I have about 50 to 60 deaf that receive that message. And so God has gave us contacts, and we're working with them right now. And so we'll show you some things here in just a little bit about how that is working. But God is working there, and we thank God for it. And let me go ahead and get started with the pictures. Let me get out of the way so I can see my wife, Melissa, and our 3 daughters, Amanda, Elena, and Olivia. And when we go back to Peru, there's just going to be 2 daughters with us. One's going to stay here in the States. Amanda, our oldest daughter, will be going to school, Lord willing, in September. And so, but anyway, this is my family. Behind us in the picture is Machu Picchu, the big famous tourist attraction, one of the 7 modern wonders of the world, a couple hours from where we live. Before COVID, they had 3,000 people a day visit Machu Picchu. Since March, hardly anyone has been to Machu Picchu. The spectacled bears even came back to Machu Picchu when no one was there, and they were all excited. But anyway, we are in the city of Cusco. This is looking down the valley in the city of Cusco. We're at 10,800 feet in the bottom of the valley, about 600,000 people in Cusco. We've been told there are 1,000 deaf in the city of Cusco and 1,000 outside of the city of Cusco. We know probably over 200 of those deaf. I've personally been able to talk to them. And so we'll start with some of the deaf. Everybody in this picture is deaf except for a couple of the little kids. And I don't think in this picture that you can see, I don't know that any of those that are saved yet. We've witnessed to them. We have opportunities to talk to them. But none have come to know Christ as their Savior yet. And let me get these in a better order. We would come here. You see on your right, they're out there playing soccer. On Sunday afternoons, the deaf would get together, about 30 to 40, up to 50 a couple times. And they allowed me to give the gospel to them. They'd stop playing soccer for 5 to 10 minutes, and I'd share the gospel with them, share a Bible story with them. We showed from the beginning of creation all the way through Christ on the cross and his resurrection. And so many of them have heard. There on the left, they had a bunch of deaf associations got together and had a soccer tournament. We were able to hand out tracts to all the deaf. There's probably 100 deaf there from all around Cusco and even from Bolivia. And so we thank God for those opportunities. Let me come back to this one picture. Is a school, the handicapped school there in Cusco, has 2 classes for the deaf. In 2019, I was able to work in the school a couple of days a week. In this classroom, helping the teacher. The teacher's sign language is limited, and they're always looking for help. She had about, I think it was 12 to 14 deaf kids in that class, and very little discipline in their life at home, and very little language skills. And so, but I was able to get there, get to know these kids, and work with them a little bit. On the end of the school year, which is in December in Peru, we were able to go have a Christmas party for the deaf kids. So I was able to give the gospel to all about 25 deaf kids there one time in the school. I was able to preach to them and teach them a little bit. And we do not have a deaf ministry in the church where we're working at yet. We just don't have the workers. And we're working on developing training workers. So maybe if the Lord leads in the future to have a ministry to the deaf kids, so we can reach them when they're younger and when they're more open, when they haven't been influenced by the world as much as the older deaf have. So we'd ask you to pray for that as well, if the Lord leads in the future with the children's ministry to the deaf. We are working in Iglesia Bautista El Calvario, Calvary Baptist Church. This picture here is an anniversary service for the church. There's several other churches that came to celebrate the anniversary as well. So we're normally not that full. We did have several deaf come to that service. They come when there's food and when there's special activities. And that sounds normal in many cases, right? Especially with the deaf. But they were there, and we thank God for those opportunities. In the church on Sunday mornings, everything is interpreted. Sunday morning, Sunday night are interpreted for the deaf. We have interpreters in the services. And then on Thursday nights, we have a only deaf service, all in sign language. The midweek service, the preaching, the singing, everything, announcements, all of it is in sign language. There's no voice. And unless I get to preaching a little bit and start speaking out loud. But mostly, it's all sign language and geared specifically for the deaf. And then we all do have in-home Bible studies. Before COVID, my wife and I were going to two or three different homes. It were deaf couples who wanted teaching in their home. We're going there every week. This couple, they live up on the mountainside. It's 300 steps to get to their house. The first time at 11,000 feet, when you're going 300 steps, we didn't know if we were going to make it. But after going every week, it got a little bit easier. But Cesar and Fabiola are saved. They're baptized members of the church and are growing. And they were saved and baptized before we got there. And they were the two deaf people in the church, and they're still learning, and we're excited for the opportunity to sit down with them and little by little teach them the Word of God. And there's some other couples. We're trying to get married and encouraging them and things as well. So we'd ask you to pray for those couples. And then we have had deaf conferences, special three-day conferences only for the deaf. In 2019, we had a deaf man from the States come down, and he preached a three-day conference for us. This last year, 2020, I did it from my home online because of COVID. The services were all shut down. Peru services were completely shut down from March to November. We had no in-service presencial. Yeah, there's a Spanish word for it. People couldn't come to church. We couldn't even leave our home. That's a better way to say it. On Sundays were a total curfew. Basically, from March 15th to the 1st of November. We had our first service at the church November the 22nd, from March 15th. But we thank God for the conferences where we could invite deaf and people to come in, and we will continue to do that in the future. This year, we won't have one because my wife and I, or our family, are here in the States, but hopefully, the Lord willing, the next year we'll continue with conferences for the deaf. And then we have special activities for the deaf for Christmas, and just trying to get to know them, build a relationship with them. These deaf, many of them are the only deaf person in their family. They're the only person that knows sign language in their family. They don't trust hearing people very much because they don't. Hearing people have never, their own family have not learned their language. Maybe some brothers and sisters know a little bit of language. Their mom might have some sign language. The dad, in 12 years in Peru, I've met very few dads of deaf children who know any sign language. So they are very leery of hearing people, and it takes a while to gain their trust, to get them to open up to you. So we're doing these activities, the International Week of the Deaf. We have a special activity every year, Christmas, different things. We've had them in our home, trying to get to know them and just build relationships with them so that we can one day, you know, share Christ with them at a more personal level. We've also had sign language classes because my wife and family and I, we can't do it ourselves. There's way too much work to do for one family. We need help. And we need more people in the church there that in the future the church can take the ministry by themselves and we can go work somewhere else and start another deaf ministry in another area. And so we had to start with from zero, one, two, three, teaching sign language. And we were doing it in the church and had people coming. And then COVID hit and we had to go online. And we didn't know how online sign language classes were going to work. But we actually had people from northern Peru, from the Lima, from Cusco, join our classes this last year. And so we have an opportunity in the future to go to Trujillo, which is 24 hours by bus north of Lima. We're 24 hours south of Lima by bus. And then we have an opportunity maybe one day in the future to help them. A couple young ladies in the church there are learning sign language. There's no, as far as we know, there's no deaf ministry in this city of at least 500,000 people. And so God opened those doors. And we did the best we could. And my wife is still teaching a class right now. I'll be starting a class in a couple weeks. We're here in the States, but we can still connect with them through the wonders of the internet, right? And so teaching sign language, we're just finished in November. We don't want them to sit 6 months without anything. Then we get back in June, and they forgot all that they learned, because 6 months without practicing a language, you're going to forget most of it. So we have about six or seven, eight, I guess, somewhere near that are going to continue on with the second level of our sign language classes. Online services, we started back in March, got thrown into the fire just like everybody else, and learned on the fly, and God blessed that. And through the online services, we were praying. Because when you lose personal one-on-one contact with a deaf person, because they have to see you, they can't hear you, and they're very much about contact, personal contact, getting together. And every chance they get, then they get together with their friends. We couldn't do that. My wife left our home. It was over almost 2 months between one time she left and the next time she left. We were stuck under curfew and quarantines and different things. But I think the deaf were stuck at home as we were. And they couldn't go see their friends. And when we had contact with them through WhatsApp or Messenger on Facebook and different things, they began to respond more. And our numbers of interest, deaf that are interested, we knew them all. They just really weren't showing us much interest, most of them. The numbers grew greatly. And we have a lot more deaf now that watch our online services and who are interested in coming to church. Most of them don't come to church yet because they have little kids, and still in Peru, if you're under 12, you're not allowed to come to church. So they have to stay home, but they're watching online. And so God opened those doors for us. And the pastor would preach the service from his house and put it on Facebook. Then when he got done, we'd take it from Facebook and combine it with a video of us interpreting and send it back out on Facebook and for the deaf. And so but God used it and worked in hearts and lives. I heard a testimony of one deaf man that was watching and got saved.
Amen.
I have not confirmed that, but that's what I was told kind of through the grapevine. So we're praying that it's true. But God is using that, even though we didn't have one-on-one contact with them. We've been able to do some other things while we're there in Peru. This last year, several churches or individuals sent money down to us to help us give bags of food to people in need. And so we were able to do that, go to some different outlying areas. We will help both deaf and hearing. This is a small work, about an hour outside of Cusco. And we were able to go out there one afternoon, spend a couple hours with them, and encourage these people in a brand new work in a little small town there in the mountains. But we were also able to help the deaf. And we had them come to the church one Saturday, and we had them come in 10 at a time and spread out social distancing and all of that. And I was able to give them the gospel and then give them a bag of food. Got their phone numbers, got contacts with them. And through that, also through that, we're able to get a lot more contacts. And so we thank God for those opportunities to get to know the deaf a little bit more and get a better contact with them. We've been also able to help out in camps, both deaf camps, hearing camps, preaching, working, guiding, leading, whatever, there in different camps throughout the last few years. Been able to preach in other churches. My daughters have done several songs, especially this last year, videoed songs, special music, and sent them different places. To the church, special meetings we've had. So we thank God for those opportunities as well. And now I want to finish up real quickly with the great need. This family right here, all but the little boy that's behind the mother, his mother, they're all deaf. The mom and dad are the gray-headed couple are the parents. The two young men are their sons. They're both deaf. The young lady is married to the, at least I believe they're married. I haven't confirmed that yet, but with the guy on your right, they're all deaf. He's a president. The older man's a president of a deaf association through him. I believe he's saved. There was a deaf man that was in Cusco in the 80s and 90s that was a missionary there. And I believe this man and his wife are saved. I'm not sure about his boys and his daughter-in-law. But we're able to get in and meet several deaf through them as well. But real quickly, two quick stories. The boy where the arrow was pointing to, this is a young man a couple years ago. He showed up at our church on Sunday morning. We didn't know anything about him. He's from Arequipa. But he came up to Cusco and heard about our ministry through a friend. He was saved in Arequipa. He showed up. He was at church with us that day, and I thought he was going to be around for a week. I misunderstood his sign language, and he disappeared like a few days later and went to Lima. Well, my daughters and I flew down to Lima to go to this deaf camp, and he was at the camp. And he was all excited. He was sitting on the front row, paying attention, learning, just having a wonderful time. The week after deaf camp, he went to the ministry where we were at in Lima, Afata, was there for a week, then left. A month later, his parents in Arequipa called the people in Afata and said, "Have you heard from our son?" "No, he was here and he left. We don't know what happened." People were looking for him for at least 2 months. Finally, they found his body in a morgue in the city of Lima. And apparently what happened, he'd been attacked by a certain group of a gang there, and they beat him up, stole all of his identification, and left him there. And I don't know if he was dead yet or if he died on the street. We don't. No one knows the full story. But he was left there. And he didn't have much of a chance to defend himself. He may not have even heard them coming. Or he was in an unsafe area, the city of Lima. He didn't know Lima. He didn't know. He probably shouldn't have been in that area, especially being a deaf man by himself. But he passed away. But we know he was saved. He gave a good testimony of that. I'm pretty sure he was saved, and he was wanting to learn, serve God. And then this family here, the four in the middle, our brothers and sisters, the three in the middle, the two young ladies, and then the guy just to the on past the girl there in the black and yellow jacket. They're all four brothers and sisters. The three in the middle are deaf. About a year and a half ago, I went out Sunday afternoon to where they were getting together to play soccer to talk to them a little bit more. And I did not know what had happened, but the week before, they had a younger sister, 15-year-old deaf daughter as well. There was four of the five siblings were deaf. And she was still living at home with her parents way up in the mountains, a very poor family, had a small farm. And they lived in this grass, wood, hut, house thing. And she was asleep early one morning, and a lightning bolt hit the house. She did not hear it. And I believe what happened, the beam across the ceiling fell and hit her on the head. The house burned down. The 15-year-old girl died. This little girl, young girl, as far as we know, never heard about Jesus Christ. Her parents did not know sign language. She's lived up there. She wasn't able to leave home yet. She was still, a minor. This deaf girl probably never heard about Jesus Christ. No one ever told her. No one ever climbed up the mountain to find her in that little house and tell her about Jesus Christ. Now, these are two extreme stories. We thank God one was saved, but one wasn't. But that can happen anytime. Someone needs to tell them about Jesus Christ. And we thank God for those opportunities. So, looking forward, what are we going to do in the future? We've been there two and a half years now, and we are still continuing to grow the growth in Cusco. The church, we're still training those workers. We're not ready to leave them yet. They're getting closer, but we're still working with them. And we need to have a good, solid ministry in Cusco. The deaf come to Cusco from all the other surrounding towns and cities because Cusco is the big city. It's where the tourists come in. It's where more work is, so they come looking for work there. So we're praying that we have a good, solid ministry there in Cusco. It's little by little getting there, but we need to keep working there. So we're going to continue working with them, training deaf workers and leaders in other places, as I mentioned. And then in the future, as the Lord leads, go somewhere else. We may still base out of Cusco and kind of springboard from there different places around the southeastern part of Peru. Cusco is... I don't think I have a light. Anyway, they're in the middle, And all around that area, there are towns and cities that have no ministry to the deaf. This here on the right is the province of Cusco. Several towns just within that province, within 45 minutes to an hour of Cusco, need a deaf ministry. No one, as far as we know, working with the deaf. You can see the green line there and from Lima up on the coast and on the left side of that map. It goes all the way down around. It's a Gringo Trail. If you want to spend about 10 to 14 days touring many ruins of Cusco, that's a trail you take. But all around that area, I can name several towns, Quillabamba, Espinar, Sequani, many more, Anta, others. No one's working with the deaf. So that's our goal, to go into those areas as well. Train people and help them go, and then us go as well. So thank you for your prayers, your support, and we ask you to continue to pray and that God would work there. There's a lot more to do. We thank God for what he's done, and we thank God for what he will do. I told my dad's church, and I told my brother's church this morning, God is doing something.
Amen.
He's working. We haven't seen a lot of fruits yet, but if you keep praying, and God gives us strength, and God continues to work, he's doing something.
Yes, sir.
And I preached this morning in my brother's church about persecution. Don't get discouraged by it. Man, God uses persecution to grow his church. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but God's still working. God knows what's going on. Real quick, before my wife and daughter sing, my wife's singing in sign language, my daughters are singing in voice. So, Stephen was stoned. And Saul was sitting there looking at him. And Stephen said, Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. Don't condemn them. I don't think Saul ever forgot that. The persecuted was praying for the persecutor. And one day in heaven, the persecutor got to meet the persecuted again. What a wonderful sight that was. And so we keep trusting God. We keep going forward. And allow God to work in hearts and lives, you know? So why don't you all come up and sing? And then we have a few minutes. Maybe we'll have if anybody has a question, if that's all right, after they sing, we'll have that. And then we'll look for a little bit in God's Word.
Piedra angular, firme. sostendré in Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied for every sin.
I better take a drink of this before I spill it. All right, real quick, does anybody have any quick questions? If you want to wait till after the service, that's fine too. But anyone have anything? Mr. Little told me to tell you he was, I don't know what it was, but anyway. The best one in the church, and I'm not sure what he said. But anyway, it doesn't matter. All right, take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 this evening. We're going to look at from verse 28, read down through verse 32. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And I want to focus in on verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the church here. Thank you for each one that came out. I know that the weather's a little bit colder, and there's a little bit of rain, snow, things going on. Lord, thank you for their faithfulness. And Lord, I pray now that you would help us as we look into your word. We pray that your spirit would have the freedom to teach us and help us. Lord, open our hearts. Help us to set aside all distractions and just a few minutes think about what you have for us. Help us to be obedient and to apply and use what you have for us this morning, or this evening, Lord. We pray in your name. Amen. Amen. How many of you like to know the truth? You want to know what's true. And then we look at our world today and all that's going on, and we're trying to figure out what's true and what's not true and trying to separate it all out. And sometimes we feel like, man, I don't know what's true. I don't know what's going on. I don't understand. You ever felt that way?
Yes.
Just watch the news for 10 minutes and that's the way you feel probably sometimes, right? What is true? What's going on? There's information. There's misinformation. It's hard to know what's true. I got all these people talking about fake news. So that's fake news. No, you're fake news. And many times you want to say all of it's fake news, maybe. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that throughout all time, truth has always been the great need. One of the great needs we have is the truth. What is true? Yeah, The political situation in Peru is no better than the political situation here. In November, they impeached the president. The new president, who was the president of the Congress, assumed the presidency. 5 days he had to resign because the people were rioting in the streets. So they have another president until July 28th, when a new president is in. There's elections this year. In April the 11th, they have elections for the president of Peru. 21 people are running for president from 21 different political parties. 11 of those 21 are being investigated for some type of corruption currently, and they're running for president. And you look at all this, where's the truth? The truth throughout time has been manipulated. It's been hidden. It's been destroyed. And sadly, it's been ignored. And we see what the end result of that is. Look at our world today. A world that's not living doesn't know the truth. What is the end result of that? It's chaos. It doesn't get better. It gets worse. Sin is greater. The influence of evil is greater. And Satan knows that. And so what's he try to do? Tries to get rid of the truth. Look in verse 32, it says, "And the truth shall make you free." That's quite a thought, isn't it? When you know the truth, you have freedom. God wants man to be free. Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve, Genesis 1 and chapter 1, chapter 2, they're living in complete truth. There's nothing wrong. There's no lies. It hadn't been changed, hadn't been manipulated, hadn't been hidden. Everything they know is truth till Satan shows up, right? But God gave them this freedom of life, to enjoy life in truth. And they rejected it. You know what? God even gave them the free will to choose. Because he wants man to live in freedom. But man, we got to know the truth. Look at this verse in Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. You know, we need to seek the truth. One thing man ought to do, each one of us, we ought to seek to know the truth. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not, and wisdom and instruction and understanding. The word there is buy. It might cost you something to know the truth. But Solomon says, buy it. Go get it. Pay what it's cost. Do what it takes to know the truth. Solomon, the wisest man in all the world, experimented with everything, right? He tried everything there was to try. And he realized, you know what? I need the truth. Even if I have to pay for it, it's worth it. Even if I have to do something to find it, that's worth it. There's freedom when I know the truth. There's life when I know the truth, and I ought to do something to find it.
Yes, sir.
That's what Solomon says here. Buy the truth. He didn't say wait for the truth. He said buy it. Go get it. And so that's something we ought to do is go find the truth. Knowing the truth is worth it, even if it costs you something. And so we ought to look for the truth. But isn't it wonderful that right here we have the truth? What does John 17:17 say? Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. The blessing that God gave us the truth in his word. It's right here. You know, I was privileged to grow up in a Christian home, to have the truth given to me from birth. And God has given us the truth. God is the truth. Everything God says He does is true. And so we ought to come here. Were you in the Word this morning? Did you look for truth? Throughout the week, are we reading His Word, finding and looking for the truth? Go to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. If I can get there. Psalm 33, verse number 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. You can find several other verses that talk about God is true, His word is true, His works are true, all that He does is true. And we're a blessed people because we have the truth right here in front of us. You know, we don't have to go searching for it. We have it here. The truth of salvation, the truth of who God is, the truth of how we got here, the truth of the meaning of our life and what we're supposed to do as a Christian, it's all right here. And so we hold the truth in our hands. We may not know all the truth about what's going on in the world, but we have the truth of God's Word. And what more do we need? That's what we need, right? We need His Word. And it's right here. And Jesus was praying, the Lord sanctify them through Thy word. That word is truth. And that's what we need. We can be sanctified through the truth. But the truth needs to be told.
Amen.
Right? There's a world out there, many people out there, thousands of people, millions of people that don't know the truth. And they're searching for it. Where do I find the truth? It can be frustrating. And if they never hear the truth, they'll never find the freedom from sin, the freedom from bondage. Look at John 16. John 16. Christ left. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the Comforter. He has a job to do. The Holy Spirit has a job to do. John 16, 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of, what's it say? When the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. What's His job? What's His desire? What's His goal? To bring man to the truth. That's one of the reasons we have the Holy Spirit, so that we will know the truth. The Spirit of truth wants to bring us to the truth. He convicts the unsaved of their need of a Savior so they can know the truth. Aren't you glad we have the Holy Spirit of God to give us the truth? We need the truth. Where do we go? Go to Him. If I don't understand, I go to Him. He'll show me the truth. So He wants all men to be saved. He wants a Christian to walk in the truth. God the Father and God the Son sent the Spirit of truth to guide us into all truth. To give us that, the truth, to give us freedom through the truth. What a wonderful privilege and blessing that is. To receive the truth from the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit brought the truth right here through men of God. Now, the Spirit of truth put the truth in word to teach us the truth. Isn't that neat? Isn't that interesting? We got to thank God for it. But it's also our job to share the truth, not just the Holy Spirit's job. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the, what? The word. Preach the truth. It's sad when people enter a church and they don't get the truth. this place ought to proclaim the truth. Whatever we do, whatever goes on, whatever kind of programs we have, if we're not giving the truth, why are we here? Because the truth is what makes men free. Wherever we go, wherever we have the opportunity to tell people, to interact with people, and to witness to people, we better give them the truth. They may not want to hear the whole truth. They may not want to hear that they're a sinner on their way, condemned to eternal separation in the lake of fire and hell from Christ, but that's what they need to hear. They may not want to hear that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, but that's the truth that they need to hear.
Amen.
And it's our job to give them the truth. Christ died to provide the way to know the truth. The Holy Spirit came to show the truth, to give the truth, and we must do our part. The truth needs to be told. The truth of Jesus Christ. The truth of salvation. Let's give the truth. We have it. We have what the world needs.
Yes, sir.
Let's share the truth with them. I'll never forget the day we were in a deaf couple's home. And I was dealing with the guy. And my wife took... They're not married yet, but my wife took her away apart and witnessed to her. And the truth of the gospel dawned upon her. And she accepted Christ as her Savior. Because finally, she was given the truth. She lived 25, 26 years of her life never knowing the truth. But the truth was presented. And the freedom that the truth gives entered her life. That's our job.
Yes, it is.
Focus on the truth. Don't worry about all the other stuff. Give the truth. That's what the world needs. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the truth. Thank you that we have it in our hands, that you gave it to us, that someone told us the truth, that your Holy Spirit convicted us with the truth. Lord, thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to share the truth with others. Help us to tell the truth of your word to people. Help us to be faithful to you, Lord. Bless tonight, we pray in your name. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Let's stand together, church. Is that what we're here for?
Amen.
To be beacons of the truth. To declare the truth. If we're not going to do that, there's no point. There's no point. The world's full of the lies and the falsehoods, all the fake news, fake messages. Might we stand for truth? You never have to apologize for the truth. So as we sing this evening, I thank you. Thank you, my brother. Thank you for that message this evening. So simple, but so absolutely true. Amen. As we sing, Brother DJ.
Let's turn to number 157. Number 157, Jesus paid it all.
He did. Amen.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thy all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin hath left the crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now and change the leper's spots.
aren't you thankful we've been washed? Daniel, white as snow. Even though we don't have it, hopefully we don't have any on the ground. That's all right if it's there. But washed white as snow by that life-changing, sin-cleansing, eternal life-giving blood of the Lamb. It's good. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I'm thankful we were able to get together, able to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ, and certainly able to gather around His throne and His Word tonight. Thank you, ladies, for singing for us tonight. Amen. Were you signing in English Sign Language or Spanish Sign Language? Oh, that's good. I wondered if that guy... That's good. Amen. Amen. Well, please go praying for each other, praying for the Lord's mercy. We need to be praying for our church in these days, our country in these days. Again, the chaos and confusion, that we would be that beacon of truth, a standard, a lighthouse of truth. Amen? Amen. Lord bless you, Brother DJ.
I'm so happy